Well, and everybody said, praise the Lord. Ah, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Well, last week there was a significant earthquake off the coast of California, Northern California, up in the northeast, about 10 miles off the coast, so it was just like a wake-up call. Unless you lived in some of those little towns, and then it cleaned everything off the shelves and made your refrigerator dance across the floor. And it's like God just saying, wake up. And tonight in Haiti, there are untold thousands of people under the rubble. Families that are stacking bodies of loved ones out in the street. And folks that are trapped and nobody can get to them. A situation so horrible that it just defies description. And I can't say much about the ultimate destitution and horror of that, other than there was a time when men served God and the earth itself was not being torn apart by the weight of sin. Paul says the earth itself groans to be clothed with the new creation. But for us tonight, the unmistakable signs given us by prophets of old that this world won't last forever and that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is returning. Jesus said it's going to be like a woman in travail. Those birth pains are going to get more severe and closer together as you draw near to the event. The event being the coming of the Lord. And you can just look for that now. The steady drumbeat not only of earthquakes, but severe earthquakes. A shaking. And in the description in the Gospels, it says, nations perplexed, men's hearts failing them for fear, waves, plural, roaring. That Christmas season tsunami that destroyed the perimeter of that ring of fire down there from India through Indonesia. Maybe 200,000 people lost their lives. A lady from Fox News came by and said, what do you think this means? Isn't it interesting that when there's a shaking going on, even the media wants to come by the church? They say there's no atheists in foxholes. You let God lay his hand on this country and begin to shake it from one end to the other. The atheists will be praying. The agnostics will be praying. She said, what do you think this means? I said, well, it means he's coming back, of course. And I said, you can go to the bank on this. This won't be the last tsunami. Because it's plural. As the earthquakes increase and they increase in severity, the tsunamis are going to increase. And they're going to, it's not going to be global warming that causes the sea level to rise. And slowly, by degrees, the cities, the port cities are covered up by water. It's going to be a great, huge gulf of a wave that makes its way into some of these cities. It's going to happen because the word of God has already told us. What does it mean? It means he's coming. What does it mean for me? It means I've got to be ready. It's a simple equation. He's coming. Be ready. He's coming. Get ready. If you're building your life and your hopes and your dreams here, you can't help but end in disappointment and in trouble. Because this place won't last. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So get it settled with the heavenly. Get it settled with those things vertical. Get it settled with those things invisible. And then live your life, do your job, chase your dreams, achieve and build, gain, save, walk in the blessing of God and be a blessing. Because you are the children of Abraham. But never take your eye off the North Star. And never drive your tent stakes too deeply. God bless you. You can be seated. We'll read a scripture here in a minute. The first part of the week, though, I wanted to give you a little report. I went to a meeting in Louisiana this week of like-minded brethren that simply want to make sure that we hold on to the apostolic faith. And somebody called me a couple of months ago and said, "We're thinking about getting together in Baton Rouge. What do you think?" I said, "Sure, I'll come." And I didn't really know very much about the situation, but I was really, really encouraged to see men from all over the country, some from Canada, there, men from the United Pentecostal Church, men from the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship. We had some ALJC guys there and some people that didn't belong to nothing. But they were all apostolic brethren. And we had a full evening on Monday and a full day on Tuesday of laying claim once more to the primary truths of the Word of God in regard to the name of Jesus and the apostolic gospel and the message of Peter in the second chapter of book of Acts, and a strong desire to maintain holiness in a world that is drifting and fluid and full of pressure. The invitation was to young men, because we wanted to send a signal to some young men in a world that's saying that you have to change and become more like the horizontal world that you're living in. But the Word of God says that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, "You looked, O king, until that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it smote the image on its feet, and all of the kingdoms of the world," everything that ever existed in all of historic man-made empires, came crashing down to the earth in one moment's time. And all it took was one touch from that is in the heavenlies. Praise God. So you don't relativize the church. You don't change the church to be conformable to the culture. You don't change what's established in the Word of God. You don't remove the ancient landmark. But rather you come in like something that is totally against the grain. All the world's moving this way, but the kingdom of God comes in like this and says, "There's going to be somebody that's going to lay claim to this." It occurred to me this week that this is the intersecting lines of those things that are vertical, i.e. the kingdom of God, and those things that are horizontal, i.e. the kingdoms of this world. The intersection of those two lines is a cross. And that's where the whole matter is settled. On a cross, but not just a cross with a man hanging on it. That's where he settled the issue. Standing in the middle of the flow of all of history, and Satan said, "If you'll worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." But he was locked into those things that were heavenly. And in the middle of that cross, in the middle of that intersection between things heavenly and things earthly, there was visited upon that man an ultimate and a necessary conflict that Jesus says you have to participate in. Because he said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to take up, everybody say, my cross. You have to take up your cross and follow after him. It is at that intersection of the Word of God and the flow of the world that you take your stand and you nail yourself to that place. And at that crucifixion, there were those standing there saying, "Come down off the cross. Come down off the cross." And today, they're saying, "You don't have to do all that. That's bondage. You don't have to be a part of a church like that. You don't have to worship like that. You don't have to love God like that. You don't have to be as committed as you are. You can live for God like all of the pseudo quasi Christianity around you. No. I can't do this except I'm at the intersection of those two worlds. But I've got to stay tethered to that heavenly flow. Somebody say praise the Lord. So anyway, that was the crux of this, the conversation for the last couple of days. But just want you to know, there's some people that really, really love God. I don't care what you see around you or what you hear. Some of you that travel, you visit churches, and not all apostolic churches are created the same. And you walk into deadness, but I'm telling you, there are churches that are alive. And you walk into places that have given up on holiness, but there are places that understand what the Word of God meant when it said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I said there's a people that still love holiness. There's a people that still love joy. There's a people that still love worship. There's a people that still love the Word of God. Well, can you say praise the Lord? And we be those people. It's what we are. In our little corner over here, not bothering nobody, just in our little corner, that's who we are. I don't get into the political discussions. I don't get into all the yeah. I don't go on the internet and find out what everybody thinks and what everybody's doing. I just don't do it. I check my email. I check the news. I go to bed. No, God's got it all in the palm of his hands. And I'm not interested in all the political intrigue. What I am interested, though, is maintaining the Word of God, actualizing it in all of its power, and seeing what God will do in this, our little corner of God's cultivated field. Can you say praise God? Are you up for revival in 2010? You think we can shake the gate a little bit in 2010? Well, praise God. Praise God. Mother Riggs is home. She had some surgery this week. She's been sick a lot in her body, but I want somebody to just shout for her a little bit tonight. Somebody just have a fit for her tonight. Praise God. Praise God. She'd love to come to the house of God and dance a little bit. Somebody shout a little bit for Sister Willardine tonight. She's been home for 6 weeks. Wants to be in the house of God. Somebody shout for her a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shouting in proxy. I can't give you chapter and verse for that. Matthew chapter 12. And let's just read verse 1, 2, and 8 for a text. So you'll feel like this is a real sure enough sermon. Matthew chapter 12, 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat, because that's what country people do. They're hungry, there's food, they eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Nobody ever said it was unlawful to eat on the Sabbath day when you're hungry, to shuck an ear of corn and eat it. He said, don't work on the Sabbath. But they had refined this religiosity to a point that they wanted to sit at a pinnacle of judgment and judge all of their brethren because they didn't have anything better to do. You know you've gone to seed on religion when you become a judge of everything and everybody around you. And I'll guarantee you, you're not a soul winner. I don't even have to interview you. When I find out you're eat up with criticism about other people, you have gone to seed with religion and you're no good to anybody but the devil. Very religious, but worthless. Behold, thy disciples. Is it okay if I tell you what I feel about this? Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And verse 8. He said, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. He said, I've got this in control. You're making judgments about things you don't even begin to understand. Praise God. If you love his word and you're thankful for it, let's give him a hand, praise of worship. Give him some praise for his word that is forever settled. Mighty God, we love you. We praise you. We lift you. We magnify you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I mentioned all that organizational stuff tonight. If you have questions about things, United Pentecostal things, Worldwide Pentecostal things, having to do with organizations, if you're troubled at all about any of that, come talk to me about it. And I'll tell you what little bit I know about all of that. You have noticed that it has been my agenda. I faithfully attend my sectional conference. And I faithfully attend district conference every year with the specific intent of never having a political organizational job. It's not because I'm lazy. It's because I came to build a church, not an organization. Now, if it makes you feel good for your pastor to be a presbyter or a superintendent or whatever else, then go somewhere where people do those kinds of things. And you'll feel good. But that's not what we're doing. And don't take that beyond. I love, Brother Bertram is my presbyter right now. Isn't that weird? He's a good guy. And I love him. And I hope he just does wonderful at that job. And Brother Lewis is turning 70 this year. And he's going to be in his last year, last term as superintendent, so we'll have a new superintendent. I don't know who it'll be, except I know who it won't be. I don't know who the new presbyter will be, but I know who it won't be. Praise God. But if you have questions about any of that, I know quite a bit about it all, and I'd be happy to share it with you. But we're just not into that. That's not what we're about. We've got a call to touch a city. We're interested in raising up a church. Watch this. You can't do this from outside in. You do this from inside out. You build up the core, and the core begins to grow, and it begins to heat up, and it begins to expand, and it begins to touch things that an organization could never touch. Well, praise God. So there you have it. So Matthew chapter 12, and that's where we'll be working tonight. Matthew chapter 12, as we begin, Jesus is walking through the corn with the disciples. The Pharisees find fault that they pluck the corn and eat it. And Jesus begins to tell them about David, how David got an exemption from God, went in the temple and ate the showbread. And he begins to talk to them about the special status of those that were working in the temple. And he begins to talk about things that are outside the lines of their carefully crafted religious position. And you need to know this, that the world as you know it stretches as you draw near to God. The possibilities begin to increase as you draw near to God. And you never, 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 ever, never, never want to put God in a box about what God can do and about what God won't do. Because I serve a God that can do anything. And he continually surprises me. Well, praise God. Did you know the manna inside the Ark of the Testament never went bad? But that it went bad out on the field. If you got too much and tried to keep it overnight, it went rotten. And then on a Sabbath day, it had a special dispensation just because God said so. And it lasted 2 days just because God said so. But when you got it into the Shekinah presence of God, when you got it into the place where that pillar of cloud and fire was rooted and grounded, where God was standing, if you would, when you got the manna there, it never went bad. Natural law was suspended. Nothing was recognizable there. Praise God. And it was a rule that only the high priest could go in there, but Moses went where he wanted to go. He went, Aaron was the man, but Moses was the builder of the house. Moses had face-to-face intimacy with God. And as you draw close to God and that intimacy increases with God, the lines begin to expand. The possibilities begin to expand. And things you never knew and things you never even dreamed, God begins to open those things up. My God, Gentiles are getting the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. So as we draw near to God, the possibilities open up. And so he tells them here that it's all right for my boys to pluck and eat on the Sabbath day because they're walking with me. My God, there's some things you can do when you're walking with him that religion might not ever want you to do. But religion is not what this is about. This is about relationship. And no, I'm not going to qualify everything I say tonight. If you don't, I could sing this, but if you don't know me by now. David goes into the tabernacle when he is running from Saul and he's hungry and he goes in and God grants a special dispensation and he eats bread that is only for God. The showbread is only for the priesthood. It is placed out there for God and the priests eat it. But David has been walking so closely with God that when you come to a place and you're in need, God said, here, I've got bread. You can have mine. God says, here, we'll sit down and eat together in my house. God makes an opening where there is no known opening. If you're up against it tonight, I've come to tell you, I serve a God that can tear down every wall. A God that can make a mountain into a plain. A God that can make a little meal barrel never go dry. Anybody in this house believe in that God? What did you think? What did you come to see tonight? What did you come to church to do tonight? Talk about a dead, dull, dry religious experience. Or did you come to plug back in to a God that is bigger than every problem? My God, my God, my God. He said, didn't you ever read that David ate the showbread? That he was not allowed to eat? But the unspoken there was, he was so close to God. God said, that's my bread and my son can eat it. And who's going to gainsay that? He said, and didn't you read that the priests that work in the tabernacle on the Sabbath are blameless before God? They're working on the Sabbath, but where are they? They're right up in the middle of God's house. So as you draw close to God, the parameters that God established to keep fallen humanity in place, they're not even relevant. I'm not going to qualify all this. I'm going to make an assumption everybody here wants to live for God with all their heart. I'm going to make an assumption that you've got goodwill and you purposed that you want to serve God. So I'm not going to stop and qualify everything about the flesh and the possibilities there. Well, praise God. Exceptions. Exemptions. But really what we're talking about is access. God makes things available to people that draw near unto him. Well, praise God. If you love him tonight, clap your hands and lift up your voice. I feel this so powerfully in this house tonight. I can't hardly stand it. Twine, call your mama right now and tell her God can do anything with somebody that draws close to him. Call her right now and tell her. In 30 AD, Israel had come back from 70 years of captivity, from centuries of failing God. They had been oppressed and ruled first by their own self-imposed bondage of sin and the cultural affectations of the people groups around them. And then officially and literally they were oppressed by Babylon and then by Persia and then by Greece and then and now by Rome. And so they're standing in the world that Jesus comes to walk in, and the world as they know it by this chapter, the world that they know it, the greatest moments in their history, the greatest moments in their knowledge, the greatest moments in their thinking are all relegated to the past. Their greatest king was David. Their greatest pinnacle of achievement was under Solomon. Their greatest revival was under Jonah. A whole city and perhaps a kingdom turned around at the words of that reluctant prophet. Their highest level of appreciation was the temple. The high place was the temple. And the highest day was the Sabbath day. They were very religious. And they had their icons. And they had their high places. Well, praise God. But Jesus brought them in this exchange, in this 12th chapter, to a place of revisiting something of old that they had long since forgotten. That all of these things that God had given them, the processes, the rules, the laws, the word, the prophets, the temple, the sacrifice, all of it had one motive and one purpose. And that was for fallen man to draw near unto God. And so his disciples are plucking the corn. And he said, there's an exception here. There's an exemption here. Because these men are drawing near to God. They're walking with me. As he goes on, he's about to heal a man that's sick in the temple. Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. There is special access and there is eating of God's own bread for those that draw near. Verse 5, there's a special status to those that work in the house of God. Verse 6, he makes a declarative statement that is shocking. He said, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. He said, you want a challenge about the temple? You want a challenge about the rule and the law? Let me tell you, there is one here that is greater than the temple. In verse 8, he declares to them that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And what he declared to them is the Lord. You're worried about the Sabbath. I've got a word for you here. The Lord of the Sabbath is here. You're working a process and you're worried about that. I've come to tell you, the Lord of the process is here. There's a rule and a stipulation that you're concerned about. I've got a word for you. The Lord of the rule is here. You've got a word that you're concerned about, your brother, in regard to. But I've got a word for you. The Lord of that word is here. That's what he came to tell them. That's what he That's what he told them here. Moving down to verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Because he's telling them things they can't grasp and they want to have some validation or symbol of authority. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. That means that if you don't believe God loves you and you've got to have a continual propping up and you're looking for a natural sign, you have adultery in your heart. You're implying, I'm going to go look for something else if you don't prove yourself to me, God. And all you got to do is read the book. Israel's covered up in signs and miracles and wonders, and they do not serve God, but they die of unbelief in the wilderness. Miracles won't cure your unbelief, but faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. He said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. This is their greatest prophet. For as Jonas was 3 days and nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, not their greatest prophet, perhaps, but their greatest evangelist. Had the greatest revival on record. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. He said, if you've got a benchmark in your memory and in your history book, if you've got a high water mark, I've come to tell you that a greater than that moment is here right now. Verse 42, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, everybody say, a greater. He said, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was representative of the pinnacle of Israeli achievement in the biblical days. But he said, I've come to tell you, you may be looking back and judging everything today by what was back there, but I've got something to tell you. A greater day is here. He didn't say a greater will be here. He didn't say a greater happened in the past, but he's always using present tense and right now. Well, praise God. A greater than Solomon is here. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Greater than your past. Greater than what you've seen. Greater than what you've heard. Greater than what you've known before. But here and now, my God, somebody in a difficult situation needs to throw back your head and say, but here and now is a greater. You know what? I've seen 100 people get the Holy Ghost in one altar service. But a greater is here right now. I've seen a church that'll seat 5,000 apostolics. But here and I've already run off and left you here. I've already run off and left you here. I've seen people healed in other places. I've seen people healed in the past here. But right here and right now, a greater is here than anything you've ever seen before. A greater is here than any message you've heard preached before. A greater is here than any evangelist that's ever walked in apostolic shoe leather before. I can see old Brother Foss on the platform at Louisiana Camp pulling off that huge, considerable belt he had. Because he was a big man. Big belt. And he was demonstrating how they beat Jesus on the whipping post. And that thing is indelibly burned into my brain. I can hear Robert Baer quoting the whole second and third and fourth chapter of the book of Acts in that great Pentecostal revival. I can hear him quoting chapters out of the book of Daniel. I can hear his voice. I never talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that I don't hear the voice of Robert Bayer and see 8,000 people at Tioga on their feet for 2 solid hours. But I've got to tell you tonight, a greater. No, you're not hearing me. I don't diminish the preachers that you love, but don't define God by a man. I don't diminish the services you've been in, but don't define God by what's been in the past. I'm telling you, a greater is here. A greater is here. A greater is here. God, 3 raggedy lepers sound like a marching army. A greater is here. A little boy with a heart to live for God takes a full-grown lion, tears him. A greater is here. Because all the benchmarks and all the high watermarks and all the miracles and all the stories and every preacher that you love and every sermon that you just revere and you break it out and you eat it again like precious bread that's been given to you by God. All of those things came down from the Father of lights, who is above every good and perfect gift, comes down from there. And in him there is no variableness, and there is no shadow of turning. If he poured it out before, he'll pour it out right now. If he did it before, he'll do it right here. The greater is in the house tonight. This may be a really big idea for a little bitty church on a Wednesday night. Maybe this is a Sunday night message for a conference or a camp. Because when you look around, it's like, well, we're not all that many tonight. And this is a Wednesday night and we're not. But the greater is here. And so when you walk into that Bible study, you hear the word of God saying, despise not the day of small things, because the greater is here. When you're walking, you're just walking through, and you're just a few, and you're in a cornfield, and you're just plucking it. The greater is here with you. When you're in the house of God, and you're working in the house of God, and everybody else is on the outside, and sometimes you feel a little cut off and a little bit lonely. Well, that's that tension between that vertical bar and that horizontal bar. When your mama doesn't like what you're doing, that's the tension, that's the pressure you feel on that cross. But you look at the work around you and you don't see the physical evidence, or you don't see the human evidence. And they said, give us a sign. But we that walk with him in intimacy, we don't need a sign, because we know everywhere we walk, a greater is here. A greater is. Everybody say is. Touch your neighbor and say, that's now. And say here. Tell them in the Greek that means here. I've done extensive research in the Greek, and I've discovered that here means here. Everywhere I go, everywhere I be, Jesus is mine. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. If you have a difficulty or a need, I want you to lift up your hands right now, and I want you to proclaim with your mouth, verily prophesying that God is greater than your difficulty. God is greater than your need. God is greater than all those things that come against you. I want you to say it right now, and for the devil's sake, say, and he is here right now. And he's here right now. And he's able right now. And he's never been defeated. And he's never known a loss. And he always is triumphant. God, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the author, but he's also the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha that is sure, but he's the Omega. He is there in the ending with you. He's here. I was pretty small, pretty young myself. But in years to pass, it became quite common. Two of the most common pictures of John Kennedy, or John Kennedy Jr., was the one where he's watching the caisson roll by. And he's just a little bitty guy. And he's saluting his dad as he rolls by in the coffin. But the second most commonly published photo of that little boy, the President of the United States, that young war hero president from Massachusetts, who was a Democrat, but is probably in his time better than all the Republicans today. That's how far we've shifted, by the way. That little boy is under that desk. The president with the seal, with the black box, with the power of the most powerful man in the world. And there's a little boy sitting under his desk playing with his toys. And you know, you couldn't get in there. If you tried, you couldn't get across the gate. I don't care who you are, who your mama was, or anything else. You couldn't get in the gate tonight. And if you did, by hook or crook, you might break into a party. I don't know. But if you broke in there, they would cover you up and drag you off, and it'd be a long time before you ever saw the light of day again. But there are two little girls in that White House tonight. They're already in. And they can go wherever they want to. Malia and Sasha. They're like, what, 10 and 7? And they just come in the Oval Office, and they walk all through the West Wing. And I know sometimes they probably officially put them out. But from Kennedy on to today, the children of that very powerful man, because of intimacy, they have access. And they can come right in and sit down at the feet of the most powerful man in the world. Can I tell you tonight that a greater than the Oval Office is here? That a greater than the President of the United States is here? Can I tell you? And if anybody in this house tonight has been born again of the water and of the Spirit, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. John would later say, now are we the sons of God. Get on board, ladies. I know you're the sons of God and we're the bride of Christ. It's difficult. But tonight, no matter what I'm up against or what I need, I can walk into a place where maybe even the rule or the law says you can't get. But I can go to him and say, Dada, Papa. I'm talking to Gorbachev. I don't care who you're talking to. My wheel fell off my truck. I need you to fix it. And so, well, who was back there with Kennedy? Khrushchev. I'm talking to Khrushchev. Well, he'll tuck the phone under his chin and work on that little truck while he's saying, if you nuke us, we're going to nuke you back.
Right.
You see, God's still holding the universe together. When you come sit at his feet and you come and say, the wheel fell off my truck. And I don't know what to do. But God says, I'm still holding the world together, but here. You don't believe what I'm telling you. You do not believe what I'm telling you. Intimacy is access. As we draw close to him, the possibilities expand. Praise God. Let's clap our hands into him and bless his name. Special access. Privilege that the world can't come in like this. Oh, but you can. The enemy can't come in like this, but you can. Like David walking into the temple in need of bread. Let's stand. Let's come down around the altar. Praise God. Praise God. What's the greatest revival you've ever been a part of? A greater is here. I could go further. What's the greatest revival you ever heard of? If you're first, step up, step up. Let me tell you what you do not want to be reduced to. You do not want to be reduced to, I heard Brother Lee Stone King preaching a message. If you're first, step up and make room. Disobedient children. You don't want to be reduced to, well, I heard about a revival over in Indonesia. Or I heard what the Freemans did in Africa. Or I heard what Billy Cole did. And I love the Freemans. And Billy Cole has filled this pulpit, and if he were alive, would fill it again. But you don't want to be reduced to a benchmark that you've heard about. Or a place that you've visited. Or something you saw in your past. These are the only days that matter. And anytime that starts getting a hold of you, I want you to just come out of your tent. And I want you to look up into the heavens. And with Abraham say, no, nothing's too hard for God. I want you to say, a greater is in this place. Hear me tonight. Cancer may knock on the door, but a greater is in this. Death may knock on the door, but a greater is in this place. Heartbreak and pain may knock on, but a greater is in this place. But that's not where I really wanted to go tonight. I'm just telling you, if you've heard about earth-shaking revival anywhere, I'm telling you, a greater is in this house tonight. A greater is in this house tonight. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to see this many people get the Holy Ghost in one night. We're going to see this. We're going to see 100 get the Holy Ghost in one night. Some of you don't really get that. But a greater is in the house tonight. My God, shake somebody and tell them the greatest is yet to come. God is great and greatly to be praised. Tell somebody a greater is in the house tonight. Tell somebody, I don't want to tell you about what I've already seen. I want to tell you about what I'm about to see. Let's give him some praise. Let's just worship him and love him. Hallelujah. I want you to lay your hand on two or three around you there and pray and bless and strengthen and talk in tongues. Hallelujah. Do a greater work, oh God. Do a greater work, oh God. Do a greater work, oh God. While you're touching them, talk in tongues. While you're locked up together, talk in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost flow. God's got great plans for this place. God's got great plans for your life. God's got plans for your family, for your ministry, for your home. My God, God's got a plan, a greater plan. Forget what you've seen and dream about what you're going to see. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Let's clap our hands and lift up a voice. Just real quick, right over here. What's the greatest miracle you've ever seen? What's the greatest revival you've ever seen? Anybody? You saw Hunter get the Holy Ghost. I've seen that too. A greater is in the house. A greater is in the house. Greatest outpouring, greatest miracle. Brother Jerry, you saw 800 get it at Azusa Street? My God. Azusa Street birthday. You tell me God's not interested in that. I'll buy into that. Nothing's too hard for God. A greater is in the house. I've been lowballing this thing. I've been saying 100 can get it in one service. Well, 800 can get it in one service. We can't even get 800 people in this building. Something's got to give. The possibilities. Just start moving. Over here, greatest outpouring, greatest miracle. Sister Pam. Saw a crippled kid in a wheelchair get up and walk. Praise God. We give God praise for that. We worship Him. But a greater is in the house. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not diminishing anything that's gone before. But I'm just telling you, God's not near about done. Outpouring. Miracle. Touch somebody and tell them a greater is in the house. God bless you. Share your love and your victory one with another. We're going to have great church this weekend. We're getting ready for revival with Brother Stringfella on the 24th. God's got great things in store.
This announcement for the beat.